Amen. Because when you just listen to the wordings of it, it just a sermon in itself, right? And our saints of God, we ought to be grateful. A couple of weeks ago, I'm grateful that I'm standing here. Amen. I was involved in a car accident and my car totaled, but I didn't get totaled. Isn't that gratefulness for God? Before we go on, say please remember Blessing and James in prayer. Yesterday, Blessing's mom, and today is James' birthday. I don't know who Blessing James is that, but we remember that in our prayers. Amen. We continue with our 30 days of Thanksgiving. You know, maybe next year we're going to say 365 days of Thanksgiving. Only a few people agree with me this morning. 365 days of Thanksgiving. Praising the one from whom all blessings flow. And as we begin today, we want to continue with giving thanks for the past, giving thanks for the future, and giving thanks for the present. So if we give him thanks for the past, for the future, and for the present, that means it can't be 30 days. Am I right? It has to be every day in our lives. And as we look at this book from Psalm 138, verses 1 to 8, that was read beautifully by Digo Moses, we want to explore how David, and what was on his mind, and what was on his heart when he penned down these words. But before we do that, let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak and not me speak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this hour. Thank you for your word as I speak, not me, but you speak your word, and that you be glorified through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And for our internal truth from this passage, it kind of tells us that every day should be thanksgiving for us, giving praises to God in every area of our lives. Every day should be thanksgiving for us. And as we look at this passage this morning, I was kind of thinking about I went through the Oxford Dictionary and tried to define Thanksgiving. And this is what it says in the definition. It says, it's a public holiday in the U.S. on the fourth Thursday of November. And in Canada, on the second Monday in October. It didn't stop there, though. The second definition it gives, it says this, the expression of thanks to God. So it kind of surprises me that even the Oxford Dictionary mentioned God deserves praises. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. And I'm thinking, I said, are they talking about our God? Because there are so many gods around us. Are they talking about our God? But as I look in the passage, and it kind of remind me, there's only one God. The God of the universe, the God that created the heaven and earth, the God that 3-in-1, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one who said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. That's the only God that I know about. And think about it this way. The atheists will not praise God because they don't believe there is a God. Oh, nobody believes in that? The Buddhists will not praise God because they don't believe there is a God. And neither are the Muslims. They will not praise God because they don't believe there is God. But guess what? We believe that there is a God. And that's why David, when he penned down this word, There was the man of God's heart. He knew God for himself. He knew there was only true one God. And this is how Paul kind of puts it in the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 22. He said, when he was speaking to the Jews, he said, after he, that means God, removed him, that means Saul, who was king for Israel, when God removed him, what happened? God raised up David to be the king, and concerning whom, God also testified. He said, this is the man of my heart. So, when I went through that, God said David was the man after his heart who gonna do his will. Now, here's the thing, church. David was a man after God's heart. And because he loved God, guess what? He feared God. And because he feared God, guess what he did? He worshiped God. And guess what? The way in which he worshiped God was by giving thanks to God. And from the passage we're going to go through this afternoon quickly, it's kind of divided into three parts. And these three parts, the first part was David gave thanks to God for the past. He acknowledged God for the past in his life. And the second part, he praised God for the future. He anticipated good things for the future. Don't we all anticipate good things for our future? Even though we don't know how it's going to look like, but David praised God for the future. And not only that, he appreciated God for the present time he was living. And so we're going to dive into that and see what motivated David and how he praised God even through such a time. The first thing we're going to look at, David praised God for the future or the past. Look in there, he said. And kind of remembrance of God's faithfulness. Look what he says in the first verse. He said, I will praise you. Now, hold on a minute. David didn't say, I think I got to praise God. Or maybe I should praise God. He didn't say any of that. But this was an outburst action that he gave. He said, I will praise God. No matter what I'm going through right now, or no matter what happened in my past, even though I may not succeed, but I'm going to praise God. And mind you, David's past wasn't easy past. David had a rough past as a little boy. Guess why he was? He was a shepherd boy. And being a shepherd, no one respects you. No one cared about you. That was a lowly job that anyone could have done. A shepherd was never respected. And imagine David being the youngest of his brothers. All his older brothers said, you know what, David, you're the younger person, so go and take care of the sheep. You know, those of you who got a little sibling in the house, you always tell, come on, you go wash the dishes. You go clean the bathroom. Sweep the living room. You dedicate them the job to do as the oldest, right? And that's exactly what it did to David. And David being a shepherd, he remembered that he had to go. He had no option but to take on the job being a shepherd. Because why? He was considered nobody. But even being a shepherd, David remembered that God did not neglect him being a shepherd. God took him from being a shepherd and God made him
king over Israel. For being a shepherd, he now become a king. So David said, I will praise God. He said, I will praise you because once upon a time, I remember I was a shepherd boy and no one cares about me. No one respected me. No one think good of me. No one had any good thought about me. But you, oh God, remember me being a shepherd and you came and picked me up and picked me up high that no one else could have thought.
God told Samuel, said, go down to the house of Jesse and tell Jesse, I have come to anoint one of your sons. And guess who they sent for? The oldest children. And the shepherd boy was nowhere. And after everybody came and saw, Samuel said, no. In fact, even Samuel was, he was moved within himself when he saw the sons of Saul coming. He said, oh, this could be. And God said, no. Man looks at the outward, but God looks at the inside.
So David had all means to praise God. He said, I will praise. And not only praising God, but look what he said. He said, with my whole heart. You see, when you understand what God has done for you in the past, when you look back at where God has taken you from and brought you this far, you will forget about your present and think about the past and say, it must have been the Lord's doing that I am standing here today, that I am a praise unto him, so that I'm going to appreciate my past, what God did for me.
Sometimes we grumble so much and forget about what God has done. We complain and forget about the goodness of God. But David says, I will praise you with my whole heart. And we see David live with a thankfulness to God, who a God who took care of him through all things. And God did not neglect him. David had praise for God. And when he said with my whole heart, it means that it's not only for a minute when things are good. It's a continual process. Because when praise is in your heart, you can't stop praising God. Wherever you go, it comes out. Whatever you do is coming out. You when you wake up in the morning, you say, thank you, Jesus. When you go on your way and come home and you see your family, you say, thank you, Jesus. It's nothing about you. It was about God. God could have chosen anybody to be king of Israel, but he chose a common shepherd boy. And David said, I will not forget about my past. And that's how thanksgiving should be. It should be from our heart. And look what he says there. He said, before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Now, what was David thinking about before the gods? And during those days, the nation of Israel formed themselves surrounded by nations that worship false God. They were pagan nations that didn't worship God, the true creator. They worship false God. And David's saying that when I praise God, even the pagan nation are going to see what God has done for me, and they will in turn glorify God. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, right? It was King Nebuchadnezzar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in Babylon, and the king gave order that no one should serve no other god. They should bow down when they blow the trumpet, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. They refused to worship the image that was created. And guess what? The king was present when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire furnace. And guess what happened? They did not die. And the king came out, the man who did not believe in God, who did not serve God, who did not trust God, he gave a decree and order. He said, anyone, hold on, let me get to it. Let me not read it out of my head. If you got your Bible, let's go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 28 quickly and hear what the king said. In verse 6, he said, 28 said, blessed be the God of Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servant, who put their trust in him. That's a pagan king who knew nothing about God, who didn't believe God. And he now, notice this, he said they violated the king's command and yielded up to a body so as not to serve or worship any God but their own God. This pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, now recognized the true creator. Why? Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided, we're not going to worship false God. And this is why David said, he said, I will praise you before the gods. I will sing praises. And David must have been a man who loved singing. Somewhere in the psalm, David said, I will dance like David danced. I don't know how David danced, but that means this is a king. He must have gotten down from his throne and rejoiced and honor God the way he feels necessary to honor God. And look in verse 2 there, he said, I will worship toward your holy temple. Now, in other version, it says that I will bow down towards you in your temple. And no matter what form is it, but imagine this king. A king bringing himself down, humbling himself. He said, I'm going to come down and worship God. I'm not going to sing and praise God because I know where he took me from. I want the world to know that the God that I serve, he's greater than my situation. He's greater than my problem. He's greater than my enemy. And he can bring me through. So I'm going to worship him. You know, my former pastor's pastor's wife, nurtured me. He preached during my ordination year. When we visited him in Minnesota, she was sharing her testimony with Vernon and I. And she said, people don't understand why when I worship God, I don't stand to my feet. I always got on my knees and worship God. She said, because you know why? You know, in Liberia, we suffered 13 years of civil war. And during those years of war, fighting, killing, a 10 or 15, 12-year-old child will look at a pregnant woman passing, and they will be arguing, that woman that is coming, that's a boy. And the person will say, it's a girl. And they will say, a boy. They will be arguing. And they will kill that person to determine the sex in that child, in that mother's belly. And you will see older, and she said, we were walking, living from another area called Kakata, left Morville, and she said, a child that could be my child that I could born, if I could bend down to him and beg him for my life, she said, I am never going to stand on my feet and praise God for my life. I'm going to always get on my knees and praise God, because if I can beg this kid to save my life and beg them that to kill me, she said, I'm never going to stand and praise God. And imagine David, what God did for him. He could not withhold himself, but gave himself as a total praise to God. And that's the attitude of worship God wants from us. Because guess what? We cannot pay God for what he's done for us. Not an inch. He's done so much for us. And he deserves our praises. And our thanksgiving should not be only November, it should be every day of our lives. Amen. And David said, look in verse, in a lot of voice, he said, I will praise your name. And why David says that? He said, for your loving kindness. That's two reasons he said you're going to praise God for. One, for your loving kindness. And loving kindness in the book of, in a Hebrew word is called chest. And it speaks of God's loyal covenant that he made for his people, that God says that he will love us. God made that covenant to love us. And guess what? God never breaks his covenant. God never breaks his promise. What he says, he exactly is what he's going to do, church. And David, knowing that, he said, I'm going to praise God, will worship you. Why? For your loving kindness. Think about God's loving kindness in your life. Do I deserve it?
Do I deserve God's loving kindness? I'm not worthy of his kindness. I'm not worthy of his love. But yet, he looks down upon me and said, come on. I'm going to love you anyhow. No matter what your sins is like, I'm going to love you. And that's why David said, for your loving kindness. And not only that, he said, for your truth. David is saying, yeah, Lord, you are totally out this day, right? He said, what you've done in fulfilling your promise, and God fulfilled his promise by his word, is far beyond what we can come to know about the loyal love of God, faithfulness. It's far beyond we can. So David is thanking God for how great his word is towards us, towards him. When was the last time you said, God, thank you for your word? I'm sweating and this thing is falling off. When was the last time? But David remembers God's word is truth, and God says he's never going to go back on his word. Somewhere in the scripture, he said, am I not God? Can I do what I said I would do? But sometimes we fail to forget that he's God. We forget his word. And David trusts his word. And he didn't even start. He said, for your truth. David said, yeah, Lord, I trust in your truth. I trust in your loving kindness. And I trust in your faithfulness. And look in there, in verse 3 there, he said, in the day when I cried out. And guess what? He said, you answer me. In the day when I cried out. Remember, David is talking about his past. Thank you, Digo. In the day when I passed, he said, you answer me. Now, it may be sometimes David's answer may not be the right answer that he expected from God, but he said God answered him. But guess what? Yes, indeed, God answers prayer, right? His answer may be yes. His answer may be no. And his answer may be wait. We don't want no. We don't want wait. We want yes. Now imagine David was anointed as king, but he never ascended to the throne. Saul was still king, and David was running from Saul. Imagine they have election in the United States and say, oh, this is the president, but the president cannot take his seat. He's in hiding waiting for the other president to leave. Amen, somebody. But that's what happened. David was anointed king, but he never ascended to the throne. He was in hiding from Saul until the time came. David waited for the right time to be for him to sit on the throne as king of Israel. And that's why he acknowledged God. And even during that time, God was with him. God protected him. God took care of him. To the point that Saul was at his hand to be killed. And he says what? The Lord says, touch not my anointed. And to my prophet. God anointed one, God will take him. Now he did it. See how patient he was? And all of a sudden, go and kill him. Let's go. Why are you? You're already king. If God crowns you king, who else needs to crown you king? Who else needs your approval? No one. But David patiently waited for his time. And not only that, we'll go to, help me, let's go to our next slide. The second thing, David anticipated the future, church. He anticipated the future. He trusted God for the future. And look in there. He said, David says, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Look what David is saying here. David is saying when the pagan nations around you hear your word, and I believe David was thinking about the future, because God says heaven and earth will what? Pass away, but his word will remain for what? Ever. So that means whoever did I know God must have heard God's word. His word is available. And that's why he said, the kings of the earth shall praise you because of your greatness, because of the things that you are going to do, and because of the great things that you plan for the future that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, but only you, God, knows what is going to happen in the future. And sometimes we may anticipate the future and think about the future, but do we pray, God, and say, God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know you hold the future, and this is what I desire of you for my future. And that's why David is, he said, yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. David, yeah, he's giving thanks. It wasn't only that God was going to do it for him, but for others. How many times have you praised God for others? How many times have you praised God for a brother, maybe a co-worker, and said, oh, I know this position you got, you're going to do great in it. Or you say, that should be mine. I should have gotten that position. How many times are you thankful for the next person, the achievement? Or how many times are you grateful for your neighbors and anticipate good for them? David being a king, he think about other kings that they will come and worship God. Is that easy? But God desires us. This is why he desires us. And this is what he wants from us, church. I'm going to keep track of the time. If the Holy Spirit leads me. Look at verse 6 there. And he says, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. And David goes on to say that it's not only that David gave praise and thanksgiving for what God did in the past, but also in the future. And he praised God and thanked God for what was going to happen in the future. In order for those kings to get into the kingdom of God, they will have to humble themselves. In order for us to have a great future, we must have a humble heart. We must have a humble spirit, like David, praising God and listening to the next thing David and I appreciate. He thanked God for the present. He's thanking God for the present situation. In the passage there, look in there what David says. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand. Now, if we went back to verse 1 of the chapter we're reading, Psalm 138, David started, he said, I will praise the Lord. I will stretch out my hands. Everything was what he was going to do, right? But coming to the end of the chapter, David is now saying, you, God, you will. Remember, David was praising God for his past. So he said, I will praise you for my past.
For all the things that you do, I will praise you. It was an upburst praise. It was something, an action that was going on in his life from his heart that was flowing out that he gave God the praise. But now, at this end, he said, God, it's all yours. He was considering his present situation. He was, I don't know what David must have been going through at that present time in his life. I don't know what his life was at that particular time. But he must have been having some situation that he know that he cannot handle. He must have been going through some problems that he need God to intervene. At first he said, I will praise you. But now he said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you, God, will revive me. You will protect me. You will stretch out your hand. You will take care of me. Because guess what? You make a covenant with me and say you're going to love me. And if God loves you, then he's going to take care of you. If God loves you, he ain't going to care about you. He's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide your needs. And even if he doesn't, he still loves you. The songwriter said, he may not come when you want him. But guess what? He's always on time. He's not going to operate on your timing. Okay, because if he operates on your timing, there will be no regard for him. Because if you say, God, here is it. God, here is it. You won't appreciate it. How do I know? Go back to the book, Exodus, the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness. God fed them, provided manna for them. He guided them, protected them. They only lost one battle in the wilderness because of sin. But they won every other battle that they fought. But guess what? They still complain. They were in slavery in Egypt for over 400 years. And when God brought it out, they tell Moses, Moses, was there no grave in Egypt that we could be buried? You brought us here to come and die? Oh, we are just like that. We forget about the good thing God has done for us and complain about the little thing. But every day should be a day of thanksgiving in our life. Whether it's bad, whether it's good, whether it's not up to how you anticipated, but it should be a time of thanksgiving in your life. Because he deserved it. And look in there, he said, against the wrath of my enemies. David was going through trouble. And he said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, what kind of trouble is he speaking about here? Like I said, we don't know. But his enemies were after him. His enemies were after him. But look at his confidence in the Lord. He had confidence in God. David's confidence was in God that he said, even in the midst of my enemies, when I look left, they are there. When I look right, they were there. When I look before me, behind me, they are there. I'm in the midst. But guess what? I am not going to be afraid. And that's why David said in the book of Psalms, don't you say, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil because you, God, you promised that you are going to be with me. I'm not going to be afraid. No matter what my enemy does, I'm going to wake up and praise the Lord. He had confidence in God. Because what? David knew that God was on his side. And when God is on your side, God will see you through. And here's the thing. David knew God for himself. And that's why he trusted God. If you don't know God,
you cannot know what the good things he's going to do. You're not going to believe in that he's a God able to do great exceedingly beyond what you can even imagine. But if you know him, you're going to trust in him. And that's why David says, look at verse 8 there. David said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Don't be afraid to say amen.
Amen.
It's cheap. But look at that. David said, the Lord will perfect what concerns me. And in another version, he said, the Lord will accomplish those things that concern me, those things that pertain to me. The Lord will accomplish those things. Woo! I don't know what about you, church. But two Fridays ago when I was driving to work, and I was going through the light, and that lady caught in front of me. Incoming traffic. And the only thing I could do was just embrace the impact. And like, I'm just going to go into her car. And up to now, when I'm driving something, I just hear that sound in my ear. Imagine that. But this is what God says. He will perfect what concerns you. He will accomplish those things that sometimes the enemy will throw at you. Hey, he will handle it for you.
Amen.
I got out of the car, and this lady came running. Go and sit down. Are you okay? Because they look at my car. I said, I'm fine. No, go and sit down. They were afraid of the police. Sit down. And the first person I called was my beautiful wife. But, you know, I started thinking. I said, it could be another call going to her. But for God. But for God. When he said he will perfect, he will protect his own, God doesn't joke. He takes care of his own. He protects his own. And that's why David said, your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. No matter what your situation may be, no matter what your present condition may be, no matter what you're going through with illnesses or death in your family, all those things, guess what? God still says he will perfect what concerns you.
Amen.
And why? Because he loved you. He loved you and he will take care of every situation in your life. Now, it may not be the way you want it to be. But when he takes care of it, it's going to be for his glory. And that's the mark we miss. Because at the end of the day, God wants to be glorified for what God does in your life. Not for you to take the glory, not for you to take the pride and pump us and be No, he wants to be glorified. Because guess what? Because when God is glorified, like David said, he said the pagans, the unbelievers will see what God is doing in your life, doing in my life, and God will be glorified and it will be a testimony that they will come to know that you serve a true and living God. When they see your situation and they look at what your they listen to your testimony and they listen to your praises and you say, this is what God has done for me, and they're going to think, oh, he must or she must or you, they must be serving a God that is able, that I have not seen, I have not experienced before. And at the end, we give God the glory. We give God a praise. We honor him for what he's doing. Do you think about that God perfect those things that concern you? Because sometimes we look at a situation, our circumstances, and forget that God, what his word says, But he says that he will perfect those things that concern you. He will accomplish those things that concern you. Even though the devil may meant it for evil, but God going to turn it for good for his glory. And even though David experienced difficulties in his life as a child, young man, even to his adult as king, his sons, Absalom rebelled, a father, king in, sitting on his throne, and his son declared himself as king. Do you think that's something easy that David was going through? No. He had it up to his neck. But David did not turn his back from God. He praised God. And that's why he said, your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. It endures forever for you. It endures forever for me and for all of God's children. And look in the latter verse that he said, David believed in the sovereignty of God, right? And David was confident that God was not done with him yet. He trusted God, church. He realized that God still was working those things for him in his life. God was working all things together for good. For good to those who love him. Those who still working. Those who are called. Those who trust him. God is still working. And David was confident. And that's why he says, your mercy endures forever. And that's why he said, the Lord will accomplish all that concerns me. Guess what, church? Because he has concern for his own children, God knows your troubles. Because he had concern for his own children, God knows our trials. He knows our hardships. And he is concerned for us. Church. Jesus, God, the King of the universe, is concerned for you. If you're going through situation, guess what? He hasn't forgotten you yet. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you. He has not deserted you. He cares about you. And he's still working in your life. He cares about every aspect of your life. Guess what, church? God will not save you and leave you. He will not receive you when you come unto him and then forsake you. He will not convert you and then desert you. God will not do that. God will not lift you up and then allow you to fall down. He will not adopt you as his child and abandon you. So think about that. If the Creator loves you to the high extent, then what you ought to do is just praise him. You ought to glorify him. You ought to thank him for his goodness. David knows this. This is why he says, do not forsake the works of your hands. Do not forsake the works of your hand. David trusted God. David wondered what God did in his past. He praised God for what God did in his past. He praised God for what God is going to do in the future. And now he's praising God for the present time he's living in. He's confident that God is working presently in his life. Now, God may be working presently in your life, in your circumstances, in your problems. But the result may not be how you want it to be. The result may not be how I anticipate it to be. But guess what? He is still working the way he feels and how he wants and how he wants to do it. And all I need to do is just thank you, Lord.
All I need to do is just praise him and glorify him. Are you thanking God for your past? Are you thanking God for your future? And are you thanking God in your present? And as we close for application, I just want us to use Psalm 34 as an application for us. Look at what David says in Psalm 34. He says, I will bless the Lord at what? Oh, only a few. Can you say that with me? I will bless the Lord at what? All times. And his what? Oh, let us read it together. He said, his praise shall what? Continually. Now when things are good, when things are not good, I will praise him. When I'm bereaved, I'm going to praise him. When I'm down, I'm going to praise him. He said, continually be in my mouth. He said, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. And then he said, the humble shall hear of it and be what? Yeah. Woo! When I praise the Lord, even the proud, the humble, they will hear and say, woo! Something is going on in that brother's life. I don't know why he's happy, but there's something going on. Look what he says there in verse 3. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us what? Exalt his name together. And this is the part I love. He said, I sought the Lord. And he what? Can you say a lot of that? And he what? He heard me. Not only did he hear me, he delivered me from what? All my fears. And he said, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. I want us to go with this week, in every day of our lives, and praise and bless the Lord at all times. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that we can praise you. We can glorify you. Thank you, O God, for saving us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And all we want to say is thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The praise team will lead us in our closing song. Stand as we sing this song. Give thanks.
Bible says it all. Thanksgiving should not be just the month of November in our lives. It should be every day.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, give thanks. When you get on your way, you come home, give thanks. Because it was nothing about you. It's all about God. He deserves all the praises. He deserves all the things that He's done for us to appreciate Him. Our past, our future, our present. It may not be the way we want it, but guess what? He knows what's best for us. Pastor Gerald.
We're going to close with a word of prayer. And I just want to encourage you guys, remember what Pastor Anthony said, right? Because of Psalm 138, because God's going to perfect what concerns us, we can sing Psalm 134, right? Bless the Lord every single day. I want to encourage you as you leave today, drop off your praise. If you haven't filled it out, take it home and really think about what you are praising God for. Bring it back next time, you know, or when you come, fill it out again. God deserves our praise, doesn't He? And God gives us hope in the midst of whatever is going on. And I know there's a lot going on in all of our lives, right? Father God, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word, Lord, that enables us to stand, Lord, when all the powers of earth and the world, Lord, just drive us to our knees. Father, I just ask that You would just meet each one of us right where we are now with Your word, with the message of Your servant. And I pray, dear God, that You would just speak to our hearts. Father, lift us up. Help us to be able to lift up Your praise in every circumstance. Because You alone are God, and You deserve all of our praise. And You're the one who sustains us in everything because of Your great love. Lord, we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.